Hi, it's Adam Dalve again, and I'd like to talk about pages 430 to 432 in Middlesex, the scene where Callie is in the library and reads the word monster. I chose to read this passage because it was a very moving moment and illuminating, because we as readers had been in a way hoping for such a revelatory scene for such a long time. Throughout the work, Callie has never truly tackled the extent to her physical differences before this scene, and for her to gain this awareness is a very shocking and striking moment. Her alienation becomes much more distinct for the rest of the work. And from a personal perspective, this scene also just moved me, and I think is worth thinking about why that would be, and why this moment of alienation could make me associate so much more with Callie than I had previously. However, while this discussion of what the scene means to us is important, I'd also like to discuss some individual ideas I noticed that were thematic throughout the text. One thematic concept that was really demonstrated here was the power that words seem to carry in Middlesex. Although human emotion, instinct, and action are often seen to be fluid and can be kept secret, words are supposed to carry the truth. For example, the relationship between Callie and the object flourishes as long as it goes unspoken, but Jerome's shouts of carpet munchers names what is happening between the two, causes them to spring apart, and shatters the unspoken bond of their burgeoning love. Similarly, Desdemona and Lefty's relationship is dependent on the truth of their situation never being spoken. They are never able to really talk about their previous relations before coming to America, and that is a safety for them, that they can never have to access the truth to their relationship. When Callie sees the awful word monster in the center of the library in the dictionary, it names her own fears for herself, confirms the panic that she has that something is wrong with her. As long as she didn't have to name herself, she could escape confronting her situation, but as is made clear when the word monster follows her throughout the library and out and down the steps, it becomes clear about the silent power that words have in these books. Much as Desdemona is terrified that Lefty will give away her relationship, Callie has long been terrified that someone will look at her and call her a monster and name what she can always hide and lie to herself with before. This moment in the book is a definition and one that Callie can never really escape from this point onwards. Another powerful theme embodied by the dictionary is found when Callie relates it in her mind to the Bible. Like the Bible, a dictionary is full of absolute truths that, as Callie says, embody an entire culture. Just as her grandparents have to struggle against church laws and hide their true selves, so too is Callie bound by the narrowness of the trail of association set forth by the dictionary. She is not really able who to acknowledge who she is or to truly be her true self without seeming to be a monster, a problem that, like the dominance of religion in this book, is largely inescapable. Religion is an overpowering source in this book, and the fact that a dictionary is so closely related to the Bible should tell us the import that it has to Callie, a student, someone interested in learning, and who loves reading. Words are powerful, and so is the association that we can find with what a dictionary represents. However, the Greek Orthodox Bible and the dictionary share more than just a similarity of gilding here. They also share Greek roots in words like hypospadias and erango. These words are from Callie's heritage and past, but they are altered by their relation with modern-day New York, which seemingly is a force that adds a connection to monster that the words carry. For example, in her grandparents' village, Callie's condition was not completely uncommon, as can be seen by her grandmother's acceptance of Callie towards the end of the work, or should I say Cal. But in the American world that she lives in, this strangeness of sexuality is defined as a fault. This seems testament to one of the main themes of the work, that America is one's gateway and shaper, a place that strips away the individual characteristic of the immigrants arriving there and forces them to conform to a more homogeneous world of expectations. Just as incestuous relations were banned by immigration officers, so too does a dictionary, the emblem of New York that Callie explicitly associates with the Empire State Building and bears the marks of countless New Yorkers who've read it before, so too is Callie's sexuality banned from being accepted into mainstream culture. The immigrant's plight of acceptance is hers again, and she soon will be forced to make a decision of conformity, much like her grandparents had to. The alienation that Cal feels later in the war can be seen in his decision to go to Germany and escape the confines of America as a member of the State Department. Although he's still associated to New York and as a whole America, he is also separate from a culture that truly does not seem to have completely accepted him. Now, before I finish, I'd also like to bring up the New York Times review of books, where Daniel Mendelsohn, in a review of this work from a couple years ago, says, "This scene is meant to be moving, climatically moving even, but it doesn't work because we've never really gotten to know this monster intimately." Mendelsohn's review, which I'm happy to bring into class, does seem to have a generally negative impression of the book, but although some of his points were well-received, I had some issues with this one. The review argues that because we are not really intimately acquainted with the narrator, it is impossible for us to feel sympathy for him, in the way, according to Mendelsohn, that we even care about Frankenstein's monster. I really disagreed with the statement because, as I said at the top of my podcast, this is one of the moments where I most associated with Callie and felt sorry for her. I would say that she's a much more sympathetic creature than Frankenstein's monster, because the entire book seems to be demonstrating that none of this is Callie's fault. However, I think we can definitely discuss this further in class tomorrow, as there's a valid point there. Anyway, thanks for listening to my podcast, and I can't wait to see you all tomorrow.